We welcome you to the Lutheran Prayer Hour. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Our first hymn, O Lord, how shall I meet you? A reading from Matthew, the 21st chapter. When they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" This is the word of the Lord.
Oh.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today begins a new church year, and soon we're going to be beginning yet another Anno Domini, year of our Lord, A.D. 2017. Seasons are changing, the days are growing darker. And as time marches coldly on to its inevitable end, we're left wondering, where did the time go? We look at our hometowns, we look at our churches, our nation. Maybe we long for what once was. We long to see the church decked out in garland and candles. Everything may seem to be in its place, but you have your memories, far more than those that any of us have heard. No doubt something about your Christmas time isn't quite right either. It isn't quite the way you remember it. The same is true with community and with country. You recall the golden age, the good times that time seems to have forgotten, and you want them all back. If only someone could step up and restore us to what we once were. Rulers who'd take us back to prosperity, like the one who did it back then. Or a pastor who could fill up the church the way it was when so-and-so was here. And then we look to our families, our parents, how they've grown old, even ill, slower, weaker, or even no longer with us. The unbridled excitement of new marriage has given way to the reality of the union of two sinners in a fallen world, sharing a remote, a bed, and a life. Family gatherings, as we just know, have become tense, awkward, or impossible where they once seemed safe and carefree. Our children and our grandchildren have grown up, no longer sweet and innocent. They've made decisions and mistakes maybe they even blame us for, or we blame ourselves for. When we were children, newlyweds and new parents, others told us that we should cherish every moment and hold on to them tight because they always go by quickly. Well, now we in turn tell others to do the same because we know this. We can never go back. But we sure try, don't we? We try to live in that past, that once perfect time when all was well, when we were young and strong and everything was right. We remember and we yearn for the past to be our present and our future, and so we try to recreate it. But, dear Christians, nostalgia is always dishonest. It's romantic. It sees past, and it sees it always through rose-colored glasses. Nothing really was as perfect in reality as it is now in our minds. We either were too young or too naive to realize at the time, or we've simply forgotten most of the heartache that really was there all along. And the people of Israel were no different. They longed for their glory days, free from Roman occupation, free from a paganized culture, when they owned their own country, when they lived off the land in simplicity. They yearned for a conquering king like David or Solomon with his peaceful and his prosperous reign. They wished for a day when another king would come to restore them to their former glory. But their memory, too, was romanticized. David, for all he did, he was a man of war. He was a man of violence with blood on his hands. Solomon, too, for all of his greatness, as peaceful and prosperous as his rule was, accomplished it at the expense of others and had more than a few of his own marital scandals. And so Israel waited for a king. And then he came. The king parades into Jerusalem to shouts of, "Hosanna, save now! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." But we have to ask with the crowd, who is this king of glory? He comes riding, but on a donkey, not a war horse. And he builds his kingdom and he spares no expense, but it is he who is burdened with the cost. He pays the price. This king conquers his enemies by violence that he bears against himself. And the blood that is on his hands is also on his feet and from his brow and his side. Why do we begin the church year with Palm Sunday's reading? It's because Holy Week is the heart and center of the Christian faith. Our Lord comes as a baby in his manger so that he may establish the reign of God by dying on the cross. This alone is what makes for peace on earth and goodwill toward men. This is the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' blood. This is the gospel. And that is what Christianity is all about. This is not just another romantic vision of past or future. This is real time, real history for all eternity. Christmas traditions fade, ornaments break. Nostalgia fails to deliver every time. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His mercy endures forever and yet is new every morning. The peace that comes from his cross and his passion is true and steadfast. It's the one thing needful. And our church is not founded on glory days or nostalgia, but it is founded on Christ and him crucified. We have been sealed with his blood, forgiven and holy in his sight, and nothing can snatch us from that. The demands of our nostalgia can never be satisfied. So you trust in the King who comes not to make demands, but to serve you, to bear your burdens, to save you from darkness that eclipses our lives and the paralysis of regret. He comes for you, procuring the peace of sin forgiven. And not only does he procure your salvation and liberty, he delivers it to you. Your king comes, riding in lowly means. To the eyes and the tongue it may seem to be nothing but bread and wine. But to faith, which trusts in his words, this is nothing less than our hope and our heart's delight. Your king comes in the flesh to honor you with his royal presence, in through the gate of your mouth, to take up residence in your heart, to dwell with you and strengthen you with his peace. Is it any wonder, then, that we sing these First Advent and Palm Sunday words every Sunday? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The Holy Communion is nothing less than an answer to our prayers for healing, for peace, for the comfort that endures even amid the chaos of this season. The Holy Communion is the perfect answer to today's collect. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come. Rescue us from the threatening perils of our sins, and save us by your mighty deliverance. And though fanatics may abuse it as a sort of religious nostalgia, the Lord's Supper is no mere memorial memory. For the Lord's Supper gives exactly what it says. It is founded not on a romanticized past, but on the firm and the certain promise of Jesus Christ. And it, the Lord's Supper, is the antidote to the seasonal affective disorder of Christmas nostalgia. For our Lord invites us to remember him in this way, by actually receiving the life-giving fruits of his cross, by proclaiming his death, by drawing our daily life from his life. This is not Jesus as we romantically recall him, or as we desperately wish that we could recreate him and get him back in our time somehow. No, this is Jesus as he has promised and wishes to give himself for our certainty. God grant that we would flee from Jesus in all the places that he has not promised to be found, and instead begged to receive him always and even more often, where he has pledged himself to be for us bodily in his holy supper. The days are darkening, fears are mounting, and the cold is threatening. But behold, dear saints, your King comes to you, righteous and having salvation. He is the light of consolation to those who dwell in darkness. He is the calm, the peace of sins forgiven to those who are scrambling in chaos and anxiety. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. O glorious sun, now come, send forth your beams so cheering, and guide us safely home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David. Through his holy prophets he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us. He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant. This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life. You, my child, shall become a prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dark from on high shall break upon us, to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Stir up, we beseech you, O Lord, your power, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins, and saved by your mighty deliverance, who live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lutheran Prayer Hour is brought to you each Sunday morning by the Lutheran Churches of the Missouri Synod in the Wahpeton-Breckenridge area. This morning's broadcast was conducted by the Reverend Sean Denzer, pastor of Trinity Lutheran Church of Great Bend, North Dakota. If you have no church of your own, we extend a cordial invitation to worship with us at Trinity. Divine service is held every Sunday at 8:45, with a Bible study beforehand at 8, and Sunday school following the service. We also have a Wednesday evening Advent service for St. Andrew's Day on the 30th. If you have any questions regarding the Bible or the Lutheran Church, or any comment regarding this morning's broadcast, kindly address them to KBMW 605 Dakota Avenue, Wahpeton, North Dakota, 58075. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.